Father, we come before you and we thank you for just this time you've given us, Lord, the things you continue to reveal to us and show us, Lord. Father, I just pray for this referencing Patrick's chapter 24, the haunting and the warning. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this teaching and this study, which I know you will, because it was you who put it on my heart to share this study. And it was something that Patrick said, actually, that spurned it. And so, God, I pray for your anointing and your blessing on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in referencing chapter 24, I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. I titled this Pre-Calculated Cold-Blooded Murder. And of course, it's a story of Cain and Abel. Erwin Lutzer said, who was a pastor in the 90s of D.L. Moody's church in Chicago, I met him there in 1992, he said, God does not cause us to sin, but he uses our sins to remind us of our weaknesses. We are less tempted to judge others and more understanding when we become well acquainted with the wickedness of our own heart. We then learn how to view others with humility. When we are caught by sin, God uses the experience to teach us about his righteousness and his hatred of sin. So here in chapter 4, we have the story of Cain and Abel, the seed of the woman meeting the seed of the serpent or the devil. Cain gave in to evil and eventually went out to form a godless society, a society that would totally reject God's way. Jude 11 refers to the way of Cain as a lack of faith, which shows itself in envy of God's dealings with the righteous, in murderous acts, in denial of responsibility, and in refusal to accept God's punishment. So here's a man in open rebellion against God, a man who didn't want to obey God. God tried to instruct him. God tried to warn him. He destroyed the godly and then denied responsibility for it. Billy Sunday, famous evangelist in the early 1900s, he said one reason sin flourishes is it's treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake. And that's true. In verse 1 we read, now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Interestingly, the name Cain from the Hebrew means acquired. He was looked on as a gift from God. The name Abel from the Hebrew Old Testament means vanity, vapor. It speaks of the futility of life apart from God. Cain's name reminds us life comes from God. Abel's name tells us life is very brief. That's very short. Now I want you to notice from the beginning, we see a division of work as Cain is identified with the ground and Abel with the animals. Now that's important because in chapter 3, verse 17, God had already cursed the ground. So Cain is identified with that curse. Hebrews 11:4 points out Abel brought his offering by faith. Romans 10:17 teaches faith comes by what? By hearing. The implication is God taught Adam and his family how to come before him. Chapter 3, verse 21 indicates the sacrifice of blood was involved. How was it involved? God had to make clothes from the skins of the animals for Adam and Eve because they had partaken of the forbidden fruit and they knew their eyes were open and they knew they were naked. Well, we read in Hebrews 9:22, there has to be the shedding of blood before there can be the remission of sin. But notice Cain brings a bloodless offering from the cursed earth. Well, God accepted Abel and his sacrifice, but God rejected Cain and his offering. And I want to be clear about this. Cain wasn't rejected because of his offering. His offering was rejected because of Cain. His heart wasn't right with God. Even if Cain had brought an animal sacrifice and shed its blood, it wouldn't have been accepted by God because of the condition of Cain's heart. Abel brought the best he had. He truly wanted to please God. Cain didn't have that attitude of faith. It's as Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Timothy 3:5, Cain had a form of godliness and religion, but he denied the power of it. 1 John 3:12 says Cain was of the wicked one. Well, he practiced a false righteousness of the flesh and not the righteousness of God through faith. Jesus implied the self-righteous Pharisees and the lawyers were of the devil. He even blamed their kind for the death of Abel. Luke chapter 11, verse 45-51. So let me put it this way. There are two kinds of religions in the world today. First, that of Abel, which depends on the blood of Christ and his finished work on the cross. And secondly, that of Cain, that depends on a religion of good works and pleasing man. The difference? One leads to heaven, the other leads to hell. In verse 6 we read, "So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And this desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. God warned him. God had warned him. James 1:15 warns us sin begins in a small way and then grows and ultimately leads to death. This is exactly what happened with Cain. Someone said to reply to a nasty remark with another nasty remark is like trying to remove dirt with mud. Notice disappointment, anger, jealousy, and finally murder. The hatred in Cain's heart led him to murdering with his hand. "But Rick, I've never murdered." Really? You want to go there with me? Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 21-24, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Again, it's a heart issue. God saw Cain's faithless heart. God saw his fallen countenance. God warned him, "Dude, sin was crouching like a wild beast waiting to destroy you." 1 Peter 5:8, Peter talks about that. That's why it's dangerous to carry grudges. It's dangerous to harbor bitter feelings in our hearts. Why? It can be used by Satan to lead us into temptation and sin. Paul meant that very thing in Ephesians 4:27 when he said, "Neither give place to the devil." You see, if we aren't careful, we can tempt ourselves and bring about our own fall and destruction. God told Cain, "Look, its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." You know what? This was the last thing Cain wanted. Counsel from God or anyone else. I've ran into people like that through the years. Cain talked with his brother. Then he killed him in cold blood. Like his father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer. You see, we can't separate our relationship with God from our relationship with our brothers and sisters, spiritual or physical. An unforgiving spirit, like what Cain had, will hinder your worship. It will destroy your fellowship with God and others. It's better to stop and first get right with a brother or sister than to taint your sacrifice, because you have a bad attitude and a bad spirit over it. In Matthew 5, Jesus taught anger in the heart is the moral equivalent of murder with the hands. It is literally like doing it. If Cain would have heeded God's warning and accepted God's gracious invitation, he would never have become a murderer. It would have never happened. Here's the sad thing. He most likely murdered his brother many times in his heart before finally doing the physical act. Cain was envious of his brother. Why? Because his brother had a relationship with God. And yet, he was unwilling to get right with God himself. You see, when we hate others, it's a sign we're not walking with the Lord, and that God's love is not in our hearts. I want to close with something David Wilkerson said in a message that he had delivered. He said, "I believe there is nothing more dangerous to a Christian than to carry resentment against God. Yet I am shocked by the growing number of believers I meet who are peeved at the Lord. They may not admit as much, but deep inside, they hold some kind of grudge against him. Why? They believe he's not interested in their lives or problems. They're convinced he doesn't care because he hasn't answered a particular prayer or acted on their behalf." This is where Cain was. He had a wicked heart. God had warned him. God had told him, "Look, man, this is what's going to happen. But Cain, you got to rule over this." Cain blew it off because it had been going through his mind and heart for who knows how long. The haunting. The warning came. Cain didn't heed it. And he killed his brother in cold blood. Father, we come before you, and God, we just thank you for your word. Your word is amazing. It teaches us things many times. We already know these things. We already know it, God. And yet, we have your word here for us to understand it, to make the application to our lives. It's all part of conforming us every moment of every day into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that's going to be completed at the rapture of the church. When you come for us and you bring those who had already died in years past with you to receive that brand new body and to put on the mind of Christ. Father, go before us. Bless the rest of our time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.